Volume 2. Okay, Orach Chaim HaKadosh Parshas Vayakel Tavshin Ayin Zayin. Vayakel Moshe as Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael Vayomer Aleihem Eile HaDvarim Asher Tziva Hashem La'asos Osam. Moshe gathered everyone together, and he spoke to them, and he told them, these are the things, Eile HaDvarim Asher Tziva Hashem La'asos Osam. These are the things that Hashem has commanded you to do. And immediately launches into a description about Shabbos. For 6 days you should work, on the seventh day is Shabbos. And then we get back to the contributions for the Mishkan. And review many of the psukim that we've already been introduced to in Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh. So question number one, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh in the opening piece. Vayakel Moshe. Tzarech ladas tam shehutzrich lomar vayakel acher shehu davar haragil b'chol eis asher yitzaveh davar Hashem. Whenever Moshe spoke to the people, presumably, it makes sense to assume that they gathered around. That he gathered people around him, and Moshe spoke to them. So why Dafka here says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, the Torah highlight the fact, oh, you should just know, Vayakel Moshe. Moshe gathered everyone to present his address to the people. He always did. How is this different? Why? What's the emphasis of the Vayakel here? Question two. Actually, no, first, an answer. V'nira ki letzad sh'ra'u ki karan or panav. V'yiru migeshes elav. We have to remember that at the end of last week's parsha, B'nai Yisrael saw that Moshe's face was shining. And Moshe had a mask that was on and it was off. So because B'nai Yisrael were intimidated by Moshe, again, v'nira ki letzad sh'ra'u ki karan or panav. V'yiru migeshes elav. We know that Moshe had a radiant face. We know that B'nai Yisrael were intimidated by that. So first, on a very practical level, Moshe had become that much more intimidating to Klal Yisrael. And Moshe, in order to calm their fears, had to gather them and say, it's okay, don't worry. You're not going to get burnt by the radiant light shining from my face. So that's why he gathered Klal Yisrael. B'zeh shedikteg lomer es kol adas. And that's why it says, "Es kol adas Yisrael," to gather together the entire assembly of the Jewish people, because again they were frightened, they were scared of him. Od yirtza ba'omer es kol. Furthermore, it could be that when it says that he gathered everyone, it's talking about categories of people who wouldn't necessarily be assumed to be involved. Involved in what? Involved in the next pasuk when he talks about Shabbos. No, involved in what's coming up, the contributions to the Mishkan. If you remember, the Orach Chaim had a piece a couple weeks ago where the Orach Chaim HaKadosh said, he hinted how the Pasuk is hinting to three different ribuyim. People who you would think generally are exempt from giving a donation, who are asked to give a donation. Who are the three categories? You remember? Who are the three categories? Right, either the extremely wealthy or extremely poor. Yisomim and widows and almanos. So it could be here. So here, the Torah is hinting to the fact, is reminding us Vayakel Moshe again, that he gathered in order to collect donations from people. He took from Yisomim Ketanim. He took from Nashim, right? And he says that the word es kol are two ribuyim, two include in inclusive words, in order to add these two categories of Yisomim Ketanim and Nashim. What about the extremely wealthy? So they were, he says, very happy to give. They would show up. Again, the reason you might not take from an extremely wealthy person is probably related to the fact that we don't want to take advantage of a person, right? That we don't want to, because the person is a person of means, so everyone's going to be asking from that person. So in halacha, we try to create a little bit of a buffer zone to give the guy a little space, so he doesn't have people knocking on his door every second of the day. But in terms of the Mishkan, he was happy to donate. So that's why you didn't really need to drag him out. But the Yisom Ketanim and the Nashim were generally excluded. Perhaps that's the Vayakel Moshe. Then he quotes a Zohar a couple lines later. Uvesefer haZohar amru shehikil haAnashim laHafrida mehanakevos. It could be that Vayakel Moshe teaches us, and I think there's a very interesting lesson here, Vayakel Moshe, that Moshe gathered the men, says the Zohar, separate from the women. That there should be a mechitza. But we're raising funds for a good Jewish organization. So now, you know, men, women, everyone can just kind of come together. After all, we're raising money for a worthwhile Jewish cause. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that there shouldn't be a separation between the men and the women. Yeah, but we wanna make money for the Mishkan. And more people will show up if we make it a co-ed event. Moshe Rabbeinu says, not so pasha. It's not so pasha. We don't want the satan, we don't want Maisa satan mixing in to building a house for Hashem. And therefore Moshe said, yes, men are invited, women are invited, but just because we're collecting money for a greater cause doesn't mean that it's hefker. Moshe says, I'm gathering the men and I'm gathering the women. The Rechaim Lishitaso, throughout the Sefer, the Rechaim says generally women were not necessarily present when Moshe was speaking. The Rechaim is pretty stark on that mahalich, that women don't have a mitzvah of learning Torah, and they weren't learning as much with Moshe Rabbeinu. But here, again, where the women are playing a role in the donations to the Mishkan, they were present, and yet the Rechaim says Moshe was sensitive to being inclusive, but at the same time keeping it mahadrin min mahadrin. Eliyachat, right? Vayavo ha'anashim al anashim. He says Eliyachavi lomar ki hikil ha'anashim bifnei atzman, va'anashim bifnei atzman. V'lo ba'u yachad, v'lo amdu b'mesiba achas. They did not all merge together. Rather, it was done in a way of great sensitivity. Okay, so maybe that's another pshat in the Vayakel Moshe. And again, even when a person is involved in holy work, a person has to still be careful to make sure that they're truly acting with Shem Shemayim and not using it as a cover-up for their own pleasure for a good time. Eila Hadvar. Take a look at the next Dibra HaMaschil. Eila Hadvar. These are the matters Asher Tziva Hashem Lasos Osam. And again, the Torah launches into a description of Shabbos. Why is Eila Hadvarim Asher Tziva Hashem Lasos Osam an introduction to Shabbos? So the Gemara, this is not a Chassidus Shabshat, although the Gemara, you could tie in the whole Gemara is a Chassidus Shabshat, okay, that depends on your Hashkaf HaSachayim. But the Gemara says something very interesting here. Tzarech Ledas Omro Eila Hadvarim. What's Eila Hadvarim? From here we learn the Lamites Malachos. From the word Eila, we have a hint to the Lamites Malachos. Chevra, what is the hint in the word Eila to the Lamites Malachos? Well, Eila is Gematria 36. And the Pasuk says, Eila Hadvarim. So Dvarim is plural, so that's two more, so that's 38. And it could have said Eila Dvarim, but it said Eila Hadvarim. So let's add one more for that extra hay. So from here we see, I think it's Rabbi Yehuda's shita, state in Pasuk, 39 Malachos, Eila Hadvarim. That's pretty deep. Eila is 36, Dvarim is 2, Hadvarim, you didn't have to say Dvarim, Dvarim Hadvarim, gets 39, one more. V'zed derech drash, and the Rechaim says this is by way of drash. We've pointed out that the Rechaim in at least 6 or 7 places in his commentary on Chumash, quotes Gematrias. But Or HaChaim also, we see at times, is very critical, and not critical in a negative way, but critical in terms of trying to say Pashup Shat. So he says that this is very nice, B'derech Drash, but we need to try to explain more simply what's going on here. O Tzarech Ledas, Lama Hutzrich, Lomar Lasas Hasam, V'lo Hispik Po'omer Asher Tziva Hashem. What does it mean? Eila Hadvarim Asher Tziva Hashem Lasos Hasam. Do I really need to mention that Hashem is commanding this? We've been told so many times that Hashem commands Shabbos, and everything that we're talking about here is Hashem commanding. We'll see in Parshas Pekudei over and over, right? Sensitivity, Kasher Tziva Hashem, Kasher Tziva Hashem. Yes, Moshe did everything Kasher Tziva Hashem, but why here by Shabbos does it tell us Asher Tziva Hashem Lasos Hasam? So the Rechaim says, furthermore, va'od, kevon shelo omer b'mitzvah zu ala inyan Shabbos, eich yutzdak le'omer alav ta'asu. And what does it mean to make Shabbos? Put up a chulin? Eile dvar asher tziva Hashem la'asos osam. What does it mean la'asos? It's a phrase we find by Shabbos. La'asos es a Shabbos. What does it mean la'asos es a Shabbos? How do you make Shabbos? Isn't Shabbos about refraining from doing malacha? So says the Rachaim Hakadosh. Achein Yisbar Al Pi Divrayim Zal Gemara in Horios Daf Ches Amid Aleph. Klal Yisrael have a very big problem in light of last week's parsha. Chet HaEgel. How on earth are we going to fix Chet HaEgel? Chet HaEgel is a Avodah Zarah, and we know from the Gemara in Horios he tells us Ki Sishku. When Klal Yisrael sin in the way of Avodah Zarah, Bavidbar Parak Tesvav, talking about communal Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, and that's what he's basing his comment on here, Shekol amode be'avodah zarah kekofer b'chol haTorah. When you make an egel, assuming that an egel is avodah zarah, Norachayim HaKadosh, we saw, somewhat supports that notion, somewhat not. It was an emtza'i, it wasn't meant to replace God, it was supposed to be an intermediary to Hashem. But a person, Pasha Pshat is, it's avodah zarah, and anyone who's involved in avodah zarah has rejected the entirety of the Torah. So how are you going to fix that? How do I re-accept Kol HaTorah Kula when I rejected Kol HaTorah Kula? U'me'ata hinei tzrichin kol Yisrael letakin kol taryag mitzvos asher pagbu b'chulan. So the Jewish people now need to fix all 613 mitzvos that have been damaged. V'davar zehu rachuk migeder ha-sagab. That's very difficult. It's beyond reasonable to assume I'm going to be able to do 613 mitzvos. We'll see later in the parasha he talks about how the Jewish people as a unit can try to do 613. As individuals, no individual can do 613. Asher alkein ba mitzvos Hashem lahem shiyizaharu ba mitzvos Shabbos. So Hashem says, I can give you a quick fix. Same way you ruined everything in one fell swoop with a chet ha'egel, I'm going to give you one mitzvah that is an all-encompassing mitzvah. The mitzvah that corresponds to all the other mitzvahs. Remember the remez? What was the Rachaim's gematria? Rachaim gave us a gematria. What was the gematria? Bris. That's right. That bris is 612. Yeah? Bris is 612. And Shabbos is a bris, which means that Shabbos is equated with all the other mitzvos of the Torah. That was the Rachaim's gematria in last week's parsha. Where is it? Why don't I say it? There it is. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Tes Zayin. So Shabbos is equated with everything. So therefore, he says, "Va'amru Chazal in the Medrash Rabbah, Shakul Shabbos Keneged Kol HaTorah, uvezei yitaknu pagam shepagmu b'chol HaTorah." So you want to fix the way that you ruin the entire Torah with Chet HaEgel? Fix it with Shabbos. Shabbos is the ultimate fixer for all problems. And now you understand the pasuk. Eile hadvarim asher tziva Hashem lasos osam. What does it mean, la'asos? La'asos. He says, la'asos perish lashon tikun. La'asos means not only to do, but to what? To fix. To pay attention to be mindful of. To try to correct. Right? To touch up. Where do we have that in the Torah? You know what's a good example of that is? It says in Parshas Kisetze, by the Afas Tawar, it says, Va'asa Asiparnel. What does it mean, Asa Asiparnel? She gets her nails done. Va'asa Asiparnel. She fixes her nails. What does it mean, she fixes her nails? So according to some, she doesn't mean that she grows out her nails. She makes her nails actually unattractive. According to others, it means she cuts her nails. It might depend, I guess, if a woman looks nicer with longer nails or with shorter nails. But the word lasso sometimes means what? To be mindful of, to be metakin, to metapel with. So therefore, lasos is a Shabbos, be metapel with Shabbos, bring correction through Shabbos. Correction to what? Correction to what we just unfortunately finished in last week's parsha, Chet HaEgel. Lasos asam perish lashon tikun, b'zeh yituknu pigmeim shel b'nei Yisrael, umahim hadvarim, and how do you do that? Sheish es yamim v'gomer u'bayom ha'shvihi. Uvezei yisyashiv mashakasha od lama chazer od letzavos ala Shabbos achar shekvar tziva kama pavim. And this further answers why mention Shabbos again. How many times is Torah to mention Shabbos? Why does our parsha begin once again with Shabbos? And the answer is, it's very timely, because this is the response to Chet HaEgel. Vod lama tziva lav samach lemitzvos ma'isa mishkan. Why put Shabbos here by the Mishkan? Because again, the Mishkan is also part of the correction. The way to fix our troubled past, namely Chet HaEgel, k'deishiyu mukhsharim lishkon besochav, if they want to be able to have a mishkan, to have a divine dwelling place for God, you need to fix Chet HaEgel with Shabbos. With a mitzvah Shabbos, Shishakula Kachol HaTorah, He Takanas Avodah Zarah. This is how we fix Avodah Zarah. As the Navi Yeshaya says, Ashrei Enosh Ya'aseh Zos, says the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches, Kula Shomer Shabbos Kilchaso, a person who keeps Shabbos properly, Afilu Oved Avodah Zarah Kador Enosh Mochlin Lo. Even if you're a big Oved Avodah Zarah, like the times of Enosh, from the beginning of time, Mochlin Lo, you can have your Averus removed. You can have your Avodah Zarah uprooted. Yes?
So is this like similar at all to, I guess,
interesting, right? Interesting that Yom Kippur, which is a day of unbelievable kapara, is described as a Shabbos. Interesting. Because the same way that Shabbos, a very good insight, the same way that Shabbos has a koach to be metakin, to cleanse a person, Yom Kippur, of course, is a version of Shabbos. It's a miniature version of Shabbos. So it's Shabbat, Shabbaton. Shabbos, Shabbaton. Shabbaton means a miniature version of Shabbos. Good, very good. Odious Bar, he goes a step further. Maybe we could say Lasas as a Shabbos means Rabbi Elazar calls a Medrash, Rabbi Elazar ben Parta Omer, Prata Omer, Minayin shekol meshamer Shabbos malin alav kiilu aso. How do we know that a person who keeps Shabbos, it's as if he has created Shabbos, as if he's made Shabbos, Dechsev v'shamru, one who guards a Shabbos, Lasas as a Shabbos. So realize, it's not only that you're responding to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's concept of Shabbos. You become a partner. You become a shutaf with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a partner in creating Shabbos. That's pretty amazing. You're not just responsible for doing what God commanded you, but you become one of the what? One of the architects of Shabbos. Lasas is a Shabbos. Yineva Parshas Kisisa Perashti Drachim Rabim. I explained, he says many times in last week's Parsha, what it means, Lasas is a Shabbos. But again, the idea is that you have the ability to create, to be creative, to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in giving Shabbos kiyum, giving Shabbos substance. He says in the next paragraph, another pshat, Od Yirtza Lomar, Ki Agam Ki Mitzvah Shabbos Hi Shmira Me'amalachos Ushvisa. Again, you might look at Shabbos, and tragically, if we're not deeply connected to Shabbos, we do look at it this way. You might look at Shabbos, and what do you see? Shabbos is all about not doing. Don't do 39 malachos. That includes a lot of things. Shabbos is all about what? Being in a state of shvisa, refraining from, not actively doing. So if you think about it, how much schar should I get for not doing? How much schar should I? Not so much. If I actively do, I make an effort, so then my effort deserves reward. But if Shabbos is just about, you know, playing defense, so to speak, refraining from doing, so then seemingly the reward for Shabbos would be minimized. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, that's what the Pasuk is telling us, that it's not that way. That even though Shabbos is so much about refraining from doing, however, Eila Advar Mesher Tziva Hashem, he says, I skipped the line, you would say, because Shabbos is defensive, you shouldn't get much schar for it. Eila advar mesher tziva Hashem, shu begeder maisa litol aleihem schar. So the pasuk says, no, lasas is a Shabbos. By you playing defense, you're making Shabbos. And you're going to get schar as if what? As if you're active on Shabbos. Even though, again, much of the avodah of Shabbos is to refrain from. It's to be about the oneself to Shabbos. V'dikteg lomar eila. And the reason it says Eila Lishlol Hadugma Sheyeshnu Bevechinas Shmira Levad, Einu Bevechinas Kamaisa Litol of Schar. So Eila comes to say, don't think like that, right? Realize Eila Hadvar, that these are the things that even though it looks like what you're refraining from, Asher Tziva Hashem Lasos Osam, and therefore you're going to get the full credit, like one who actively did. Another pshat. Based on the Medrash, and this is going back now to the Vayakel Moshe. Right now he puts together the two pieces. The Vayakel Moshe in conjunction with Shabbos, says the Medrash, the Alkut Shimoni, Sha'amru ki amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe hakel ki hilo sedrosh berabim. Moshe is being told, gather the Jews together to what? To give a big drasha. And then what's the next pasuk? Shabbos. Oh, so put the two together. I guess on Shabbos, says the Medrash, we should have big drushas. Says the Medrash, yes, on Shabbos you should have big drashas. That's what Moshe is being taught here. Vayakel, Moshe gathered Jews together and teach Torah. And guess what? Eila advarim. The same way that you gather people now to teach Torah on Shabbos, you should do the same. Jews should get together on Shabbos. Jews should get together to learn Torah on Shabbos. Jews should get together to Tavshal Shuris on Shabbos. Thank you. Tavshal Shuris on Shabbos. It's good for Jews to get together on Shabbos. So that's again, he's putting together these two pieces. Okay? And if you keep Shabbos, he writes on Pasuk Beis, Sheishas Yamim Te'aseh. It doesn't say that you should do your work. The Te'aseh is the more passive, the work shall be done. And the Rechaim HaKadosh says exactly. Because to whatever degree you keep Shabbos, Hashem will make the week take care of itself. If you make the seventh day holy, then you'll have plenty of business during the week. Hashem will make sure you make a good parnasa. Hashem will take care of everything, as long as you show a serious commitment to sanctifying Shabbos. He says in the next paragraph, what? What does it mean to sanctify Shabbos? I don't know. Ask Israel. Yes? Or ask your neshama. Yeah?
Is by that logic of refraining from doing things, you get the scar for doing things, or what makes it say that you actively do the Shabbos, you get like the scar?
Right. Very good. So if refraining, if the Shvisa of Shabbos already gives me a reward, as if I was active on Shabbos, so all the more so the active things I do on Shabbos, all the more so the stakes are higher. Right? The reward is that much greater. That's why the Sfarim say that the learning of Torah, again, since he's making this point about learning Torah on Shabbos, we'll emphasize what we have in the past, that when a person learns Torah on Shabbos, the Schar is that much greater. We have a tradition of Eliyahu Lopian brings from the Chafetz Chaim that if on the weekday, if during the week Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, which means for every word of Torah, it's as if you did all 613 mitzvos. On Shabbos, because Shabbos is also Keneged Kulam, so Rav Eliyahu Lopian brings B'Shem the Chafetz Chaim that on Shabbos it's 613 times 613. Every word of Torah that you learn on Shabbos, you get infinitely more schar for. If you look in the writings of the Ben Ish Chai, in Parsha Shmos, in the second year, Ben Ish Chai's volume of Halachos is divided into 2 years. In Shmos, in the second year, he brings B'Shem Mekubalim, that an hour of Torah on Shabbos is equal to 1,000 hours of Torah during the week.
That's true.
So you'll say, this is great, I can skip Shir all week, I just learn Shabbos afternoon, for an hour. I'll be starker than the starkest Kol guy in YU. Because that guy takes a nap Shabbos afternoon, he doesn't realize. Okay, it's a good secret to know about. The Ben Ish Chai brings B'Shem Mekubal. So yes, you're absolutely right. Again, if the Shvisa of Shabbos already brings a huge reward, then the Asiya of Shabbos, Achas Kam V'Kama, the proactive fulfillment of mitzvahs on Shabbos, definitely the reward is heightened. Averas on Shabbos are worse, by the way, also. Just stam, Averas on Shabbos are worse. The Prima Gadim has a sefer called, what's it called? Matan Schar and Shal Mitzvos. Prima Gadol, there's a little volume in the Sefer called Tevas Goma and Matan Schar and Shal Mitzvos. I think in Matan Schar and Shal Mitzvos, the Prima Gadol there addresses that question, does a person get a bigger Avera if he does an Avera on Shabbos? And the answer is yes. Because when you're, again, when you're in the presence of the king and you're sitting in his face, it's much more intense than if you were, you know, somewhere far away from the palace. So on Shabbos, we enter into the palace, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shabbos Daf Yud, that I have a matana tova, I have a great gift that I want to give you. Go tell Bnei Yisrael, where is the great gift? Bebeis Genozai, in my treasure house. So the tzaddikim explain, or Gedaliah, other svarim explain, that on Shabbos, we enter into Hashem's treasure house. It's not that Hashem takes a treasure and gives it to us. Right? We enter into the world of Shabbos. Yom Tov is a world that we create over here. Shabbos, we enter into a different sphere called Shabbos. higher plane of existence. So again, when you're in the palace and you do an avera, the offense is that much greater. Okay, in the next paragraph he goes on, he says, it could be also that Sheshes Yom Teyaseh, that during the week you could have someone do something for you, but on Shabbos, even Teyaseh is problematic to have a non-Jew do malacha for you on Shabbos. Again, this is not a halacha shir, but some of us probably are not as familiar with the halachos. And there's a problem of amira l'goy on Shabbos. What? I thought you were allowed to hint anything you want to a guy on Shabbos. No, you can't. Okay, if you want to learn the halachos, we could talk about it. But no, you cannot have a guy perform halacha for you on Shabbos, even if you don't tell the guy directly to do so. So what's that whole thing about hinting to a nachri, right? Amira l'nachri, hinting to a nachri. Okay, so you have to learn the halachos well. But don't assume that anything goes on Shabbos. During the 6 days of the week, teyaseh. You can have someone else do your laundry for you. You can have someone else take care of other malachos for you. But on Shabbos, even teyaseh, even the passive fulfillment of malacha on your behalf, is problematic. Okay, and finally, the last paragraph on this pasuk before he starts pasuk Dalid, the last paragraph he goes back to something which he had in Bereishis. Really one of my favorite ideas from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh about the significance of Shabbos, and that is, if not for Shabbos, the world could not exist. If you remember what the Vart was back in Bereishis, I'll hazard it over here. Od Yirmas, ki lo yakumu sheish yamim b'malachtam asher echinam Hashem lasos elim yom hashvi yelachem kodesh. There cannot be the 6 days of the week unless there's going to be Shabbos. Avalim lo yishmuro Shabbos, lo yiyu asheshes yamim. But if not for Shabbos, the world will not exist. Ki Shabbos hu nefesh kiyam ha'olam. Because Shabbos is the soul of the universe, and a body without a soul is dead. The world cannot exist without Shabbos. If we don't have Shabbos, there is no world. There is no 6 days of the week. Who remembers what pasuk back in Bereishis he connected it to? I don't remember. He says, look back in Bereishis, Vayichal v'gomer b'yom ha'shvi ayin sham. But he didn't give you the key word. I don't remember. And we connected it to one of the Zmiros of Shabbos. We connected it to a Gemara in Bava Metzia, a Mishnah in Bava Metzia, about your bike getting swept out to sea. I don't remember. What does it say? Yeah, what do we say? Well, Vayinafash is the nefesh. He talks about that also. But where does he? What's the what? What do we say in the Zmiros? No, Jojo, you almost got it. Let's hear. Could be it was both. The Vayinafash is correct. That's that the world is the soul of the world is connected to Shabbos. But what phrase does he say? Tells me that the 6 days of the week, that the world was only created for 6 days. It doesn't say, in 6 days God created the world. What does it say? Right. It says, 6 days God created the world. That means the world alone has enough energy to last for 6 days. And if not for Shabbos, doesn't say, Bishesh Ches Yamim. What do we say in the Zmiros? Ki Lishisha Kol Bruim V'Omdim. The world was only created Lishisha for 6 days? Yes. The world only has enough energy for 6 days. And at the end of every week, the world is on the verge of collapse. And Shabbos comes, Shabbos Vayinafash, and Shabbos gives another whole breath of life to the world, and the world gets re-energized, recharges its batteries, has enough strength for another 6 days, until Shabbos comes and carries it again one more week. No? What's the connection to the to Bava Metzia, remember? Yeah?
I'm not with Bava Metzia, but you just said that Ben Ishchai says that Shabbos is 1 hour is equal to 1,000.
Right.
Time to Tehillim. So 6 days a week, time like that.
6,000 years. Okay? Yeah. It's a microcosm of all of reality. Who remembers the connection to the Bava Metzia? What happened? What's the halacha? Hamatzil mizuto shel yam. What happens if you find an item, it was swept out to sea, and you find the item, and it still has, you find it in the middle of the ocean, you're doing some deep sea diving, you find someone's bike at the bottom of the ocean, right? Or the bike is spit up on the other side of the ocean on some island, and you're visiting that island, you find the bike, and it has someone's name on it. It says Avi Cohen, and has his phone number. It says call. If found, please call. Do you have to return it? You don't. Why don't you have to return it? It's gone. Amatzil, one who saves Mizuto Shoyam, from the waves of the ocean. A person who saves from the ocean, that which is saved from the sea, is considered what? It's considered yours. But it has there's a clear simen. Yeah, but he for sure gave up on it because it could not have been retrieved. It was lost. He had no hopes of ever getting it back. Okay? So what does that have to do with what we're talking about? The Medrash says that Yaakov and Esav divided the worlds. Yaakov took Olam Haba, Esav took Olam Hazeh. Now all of a sudden, Parshas Vayishlach, Esav sees that, wait a minute, Yaakov was very much sliach in this world. He's a man of means, he has a lot of possessions. And Esav has a taina. Esav says to Yaakov, what? How do you have all this stuff? I thought the things of this world belong to me, the next world is yours. How does Yaakov have a right to have money in this world, to have parnas in this world, to have possessions in this world? The answer is because of Shabbos. Because your world was being swept out to sea, about to be destroyed every week, and my Shabbos, my main Olam Haba, saves it. So therefore, I'm entitled to have from this world. That's a Rabbi Rudinsky from Muncie brings in one of his svar. Okay, good. So a little chazar. But again, it's the same yesod here. That if not for Shabbos, right, the world would cease to exist. Okay. All right, let's go a little deeper. Go to Pasuk Hay. Very deep. Yivi'as Trumas Hashem. The Pasuk says, Moshe says to Bnei Yisrael, here's what you're supposed to do. Pasuk Hay. Kechu mi'itchem Truma LaHashem. Kol nidiv libo yivi'ah eis Trumas Hashem. You should bring that which your heart desires, eis Trumas Hashem. A portion for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Ace true. Ace sometimes means with. We always point to the pasuk at the beginning of Shemos. Ve'ela dvarim. Sorry, not ve'ela. Ve'ela Shemos b'nei Yisrael. Haba Mitzrayim. Ace Yaakov. These are the names of the Jews who came to Mitzrayim. Ace Yaakov. With Yaakov. So here it says Yivyeha Ace Trumas Hashem. To bring something along with the Trumas Hashem. What does that mean? It's not just that you're giving to Hashem. Is that if you give it in the right way, your physical donation will merge together with the Spirit of the Lord. Will come together with the Shekhinah. Yeah? Take. Look what he writes. Take a look. Yivi'ah is Trumas Hashem. Pasuk ze mare be'etzba. Ki levad ha-murgash yesh ha-muskal. This is a very deep piece. You get a glimpse of the Or HaChaim. Look at this deep light that he's revealing to us here. He says, in addition to that which is morgash, what does morgash mean? Tangible. In addition to that which can be felt, can be perceived, can be understood, the gold, the silver, the copper, the linens, right? All of the materials. In addition to that which you see with your physical eye, yesh hamuskal. There is, in addition to the tangible, there's, I guess you could translate it as the intangible. Right, that which exists spiritually, as opposed to that which is morgash, that which you could touch and feel, that which exists physically. V'hu ma'amarim, like it says in Tikkun Ezaar, ki ma'isa hatruma muskol hi bechinas hashchina, ki la yikare trumas Hashem. What does it mean? It says you should bring something to the Mishkan, ace trumas Hashem. Along with Trumas Hashem, it means that in addition to your physical donation, you should make sure that your donation is fit to, again, to merge together with the Trumas Hashem, with the Shekhinah. How does that happen? How do you do that? How do I make sure? I bring a really, really nice piece of gold, as opposed to a piece of gold that could use a little polishing. What does it mean to offer something in a way that it's going to be shayach to Trumas Hashem? Vayidei maisa truma yaf ilba davarto v'yachaber ohel bal yimot. And it's dafka, the Shekhinah component of your offering that allows the building to come together. The Mishkan does not, as an architectural structure, the Mishkan does not add up. It does not make sense. We'll see a few examples of that over the course of the next remainder of our morning. Right? But it doesn't make sense that you should be able to fuse together these pieces. It only comes together because it's infused with the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Shekhinah. And in that way, it's Yechaber Oel Baal Yimot. The tent comes together, the Oel Moed, the Mishkan. The tent comes together in a way that it will not fall apart. That it works. V'ikar haratzon b'maisa hu hamuskal. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, the main thing that you have to donate is not the physical material that you donate. And we're going to see that it doesn't matter if you give a lot or if you give a little. As long as you give with your heart, then you've given a great offering. The main thing is that is the intangible part, the part that you can't see. It's such an important idea. Because sometimes we look at a mitzvah, right? And outwardly we're doing the mitzvah, but internally we're doing something really bad. Our whole kavanah is like, forget not having kavanah. Sometimes we have bad kavanah when we do something. Sometimes it's bad, but it's justified. A person gives a lot of money. A person's very wealthy. They give a big donation, and now they're being honored by some organization. And the person might be giving it l'shem shemayim. They might be giving it for their kavod. Now again, it might be worthwhile for them to give it, even if they're doing it for the kavod. But it's not as good as it looks on the outside. On the outside, $1 million given to a Torah organization. But on the inside, it's filled with kavod. It's filled with a desire for kavod. That's not a good thing. Again, it might be justifiable. It might be worth it overall. But that's not a good donation. So it says the Rechaim HaKadosh, the main thing is the intangible part of the offering. Is the part that you can't see. Is the spiritual dimension. V'hu omro yivi'eha. And you have to bring Eis Trumas Hashem. Well, how do I bring that? I thought I bring a golden chunk, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Shekhinah. No, you, Yivi'ah, Eis Trumas Hashem. So I told you, well, Eis sometimes means with. But no, it's more than that. You bring the Trumas Hashem. How do I bring Trumas Hashem? How do I turn my gold bar into Shekhinah? And the answer is, Perish, Yavi Lebechina Hane'elemes Im Trumas Hashem. Ubeir HaKosov Mihu Asher Yivi'ah. How do you do that? Who's able to do such a thing? V'amar kol nidiv libo. The more heart you put into it, the more easily fused will your physical material substance be with what? With the Shekhinah. Perish ha'osa davar minisiyas ha'lev asher yedvenu litzad hisno a'os haruchnias ha'shochin b'lev b'cheshek ha'davar yafil b'muskal nelam. To whatever degree a person puts his heart into it. And he moves, he's motivated by the ruchnias. Right? The ruchnias of his own heart. He injects into the object. And then he'll be able to what? To create. That he creates the intangible substance. You would think the man provides the physical substance and Hashem provides the intangible spiritual substance. No. You create the muskal na'alam. But if you bring something without heart, then it doesn't have, it still has a physical value. That's not nothing. A gold bar is still worth something. But it's not the same as a gold bar that's infused with Shekhinah, that's infused with the heart and the ratzon and the nedivas halev of a yid. Okay, so that's the goal. The goal is yiviyah eis trumas Hashem. To bring it along, that you bring the Shekhinah, and that way it fuses together naturally with the Shekhinah to make a Mishkan for HaKadosh Baruch. The next few pieces, I'm going to say them somewhat outside, but we'll read a little bit inside. The Rechaim HaKadosh does something very important, B'derach HaPshat, and explains something very, very useful in understanding the structure and the various components of the Mishkan. One of the funny things, you read through these Pesukim, you'll notice that sometimes there's a Vav, and sometimes there's not a Vav. For example, you should take Zahav, Vachasef, Unachoshes, Usacheles, Ve'argaman, Visolas Shani, Vishesh. So far, everything's connected with above. All 13 materials connected with above. Right? Ve'avne Shom, Ve'avne Meluim, Vichu. Then it says, Es HaMishkan, not Ve'es Ahalau, it just says Es Ahalau, Ve'es Mechsehu, Es Kerasav, Ve'es Kerashav, Es Brichav, Es Amudav, Ve Es Adonav. What's going on? When do you add a Vav? When do you not add a Vav? And it goes on and on. Es Ha'aron, the Aron, Ve Es Badav. And it's poles. Es HaKapores, Ve Es Peruch HaSamasach. So the Rechaim HaKadosh says, very simple. Vav means attachment. Let's read the first part inside and then I'll summarize the other parts. He says, again, he asks the question. Skip to the second paragraph. The first part he asks the question. Why the Vav connects the 13 materials and then the Vav comes and goes, and how do you make sense of the Vav that appears and disappears? So let's read the second paragraph, Venira. Venira li Yashiv. You see where we are? Who's got the page? Borden, what do you say? Same page? Okay. Venira li Yashiv, Bahaktim Divrayamzal. We can answer based on the Medrash. We're in Pasuk K. The Dibra Maschel is Zav v'chesef, but we're going to the second paragraph. Yosef Eliezer, Shalom Aleichem.
How do you know my... I don't think I ever told you that.
I can't reveal the mysteries of creation. Venir Eliyashev Bahaktim Divrayimza. So perhaps we can explain with the following. Ki havav yagid hiskashras hanosaf imarishon. Vav means attachment. Being connected. You like that one, Isaac, huh? Vav means attachment to something. V'chesron ha-vav yagid ki hu gvul b'fnei atzmo. And lack of vav creates its own category. It disconnects. Right? It creates a disconnect between whatever the components are. Okay? U'mizeh naskil kol davar v'davar v'neilech liyashiv kol pratu prat v'mekombo. So with this, you saw that vav connects and lack of vav disconnects. We can explain everything. He says, and I'm just going to show you the first two and then I'll tell you the other ones outside. Why are all 13 materials connected with a vav? He says, "V'zeh yatzarishon abinidvas hamishkan amar vav barosh kol prat kedei lahasmich ulahashvos kol hayud gimel dvarim." The vav by all 13 materials is telling us that all 13 materials are what? Are equally valued and equally important. Equally valued, as if to say, lomar shekulam shavim likros trumas Hashem. If you were a poor Jew who gave whatever you could, you didn't have gold to give. Now again, the pasha says, even L'Orechaim L'Shitasa, when they left Mitzrayim, everyone was rich, they seemingly had a lot of money, so I'm not sure who had or who didn't have, based on what they took from the Egyptians. But again, not everyone had gold. Some people had silver. They were all wealthy, it seems like. But they had different things. So you might say, the guy who gave gold, that's the best. Silver, also pretty good. Nechoshes? Not as good, but better than, you know, Oros Eilim V'Adamim. Says the Pasuk, Vav, 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 to say that all of these are called Trumas Hashem. Uzchusan Shaveh, and the Zchus of the one who brought gold is equal to the one who brought silver. It's all mamish equal. Right? Uzchusan Shaveh, maybe Anachoshes, maybe Zav. The one who brought Nechoshes is just as Choshev as the one who brought gold. And of course, he quotes the Gemara, famous Gemara in Menachos. This is like we find by Karbanos, that an olas behema is reach nichoach, and if you bring a little bird, olas ha'of is a reach nichoach. And as the Gemara famously comments in the last daf of Menachos, lomar lecha echad amarbe ve'echad amamit v'vad she'echav in libo l'shamayim. Whether you give a lot, whether you give a little, but if you give it with your heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that is connected, that is chashuv, and it's all one chain of donations. That's why the Vav connects all 13 things. Second of all, he says, as we pointed out also in an earlier week, all the materials are needed. You might have thought, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, if you remember back when we first were introduced to the materials, you might have thought this was a checklist and you could choose to bring some of them. No, we need everything. Every bit has to be incorporated into the Mishkan. Shekol ayud gimel dvarim cho v'heim l'tzarchei ha-mishkan. Davar katan ki davar gadol. Ma'akvin. Every bit of it is ma'akev, is absolutely necessary. And the show can't go on. Now, in terms of, then he concludes, he says, in terms of the way that it's used, there are levels. You're not going to say that the outer curtain is equated with the aron. That we don't have to say. They're equated in terms of the time of the donation, whatever you could give, if you gave it well, it was equally chashuv in the eyes of Hashem. And everything is equally important in the sense that we need everything to function. We need all the components to make it happen. But that doesn't mean that there's not a hierarchy in terms of what? Of Kedusha. And he says, that will explain the rest of the Pesukim. When it says, Es HaMishkan, Es Ohalo, right? It's saying that what? What we call the Mishkan, what we call the Ohel, the different coverings, those that are closer to the inside, are holier. So it's not just Es HaMishkan, Ve Es Ohalo, no. Inner curtains are not connected to outer curtains in terms of Kedusha. Right? The closer in you are to the inside of the Mishkan, the holier it is. How about the Aron? It says, Es Ha'aron, Ve'es badav. Why ve'es badav? Because the poles, what's the halacha? You're not allowed to remove the poles from the aron. So therefore, ve'es badav. The poles are ve'es badav. They're connected to the aron. Es hakapores, the cover of the aron, it's not ve'es hakapores. It's es hakapores. Why? The cover is not as important in Kedusha as the Aron itself or its poles, and we don't find that there's an Issa to remove the cover of the Aron. Not to say that they were taking it on and off so much, but again, it doesn't have that same role. And therefore, the Kapores is more like what? The next thing in the Pasuk, Ve'es Parochas, the curtain. Kapores and Parochas are of the same level of Kedusha. As opposed to the Aron, Ve'es Badav is a separate category, a higher level of Kedusha. Then it says, Es Hashulchan. Why not Ve'es HaShulchan? Because the Shulchan's a lower level. So anytime you see the S by itself, it's saying this is a transition to a lower level of sanctity. When it says Ve'es, Ve'es, or Ve'es, whatever, it's establishing a link between those items. And again, he goes on to explain this by each and every step of the components of the Mishkan. Okay? Pasuk Chaf, Klal Yisrael leave after Moshe finishes the speech. Vayetzu kol adas b'nei Yisrael milifnei Moshe. People left. Says the Rachaim, Akadosh Pasuk Chaf, Vayetzu kol adas b'nei Yisrael, perish, sheyatzu kulam ke'echad bizrizis lahavi. It says they left? Yes, because they all left at once. They all ran out with great excitement to bring to the Mishkan. Why were they so excited? Well, he says, milifnei Moshe, Rachaim points out, I'll say it outside, he says, the Gemara tells us in Yoma that when you leave an Adam Gadol, you have to ask Rishus to leave. You can't just walk out. And Bnei Yisrael didn't ask here. Why didn't they ask Rishus? Pasuk just says they got up and left. So at first he says, Pashup Shat, because the speech was over. It was clear that it was over. And you're not allowed to leave without Rishus in the middle. But if you want to leave when it's over, it's over. Then he says, no, it could be, you know what? They did the wrong thing. He says, oh, Efshar ki avas adavar kilkel ashura. In their excitement to bring for the Mishkan, they forgot to ask Rishus to leave Moshe. They should have. It was wrong. The halacha is, you walk away from an Adam Gadol, you say, is it okay if I go now? Right? But they were so excited to bring for the Mishkan, in their love for the Mishkan to bring, after Moshe said, we need all these things, they ran out to bring. And then he says a very funny answer. A third shot, he says, it could be, they said to themselves, hold on a second, Moshe is very rich. Moshe could bring all these things. Moshe is the richest one of all of us. If we don't act quickly, Moshe is going to bring everything. So they quickly ran out, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, to bring. That's what he writes at the end of Pasuk Chaf, to make sure that they could bring before the Asher Gadol, with a great cheshek for mitzvah, has brought everything. And that would be Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? Okay. Let's do the most famous piece in the Parsha. Actually, no, I want to do one more piece right before that. Let's go to Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Yeah, let's go to Lamed Dalet. How many people here are thinking about going into Chinuch? Well, everyone is, because you're going to have to educate your children. Mir Tashem, you should all be blessed with children. Right? How many people would like to publicly teach Torah one day, in a more official fashion? Okay, a couple people. Okay? But everyone's in Chinuch. Everyone is in Chinuch, even if you're not, you know, officially in Chinuch. Being in Chinuch, having the ability to transmit Torah, is a gift. And if you have that gift, you should use that gift. If you don't have that gift, you should also understand that not everyone has that gift, and that's okay. The Rechaim writes a very interesting thing in Pasuk Lamed Dalet. The Pasuk says, listen to this, I'll read you the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ulahoros nasan belibo, hu va'aliyah ben achisamach lamate dan. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the ability to teach, referring to Bezalel, along with Ahaliyah. Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, the Dibra Maschil is Ulahoros Nasa. So he says, Perish, Litzad Shiyesh Chachamim Rabim, Shetiyeh Chachmasim Belibam Levad, Shalo Yadu Lelamda. There are people who are very great geniuses, have unbelievable wisdom. And he's not only talking about Torah, he's talking about wisdom in general. People of outstanding knowledge, certainly true, but certainly true within Torah. There are people who are mamish gaonim when it comes to their own learning, but they couldn't get up and give a shiur for the life of them. They wouldn't be able to present Torah in a way that their audience would understand. They don't have that skill of teaching the Torah. Lezeh omer ulahoros nasan belibo. His skill chachmas halimud. And therefore the Torah is making a point that Bezalel was a good teacher. Bezalel had that koach. He was given the wisdom of Lahoros. Lahoros Nasan. And that's a gift. Nasan, Hashem gave it to him. It's not something you earn. Right? It's a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. And if Hashem gave you that gift, you need to think about how I want to use that to serve Klal Yisrael. And then he says, not only does a person, should a person use that gift, right? But there's also a danger of a person not sharing the wisdom that he has. And that's seen as a very lowly thing. If you have a certain wisdom or a certain, you know, ability to do something in a certain way, and you don't want to share it with someone else because you like having that as your own thing, that's a bad midah. It's a hard midah to conquer sometimes, but it's a bad midah. He quotes the Mishnah in Yoma, that Beis Garmu lo ratu alamid al maisa lechem apanim, shall beis artinas lo ratu v'chulu. The Mishnah describes certain families of Kohanim who had a unique ability to make, to mold, to shape the lechem apanim. It was a very interesting technique you had to use to bake the bread just right, that it shouldn't collapse. And to be able to make the ketores, to pack the ketores in such a way that the ketores smoke would rise straight up in a pillar. Different techniques are described by the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says about these families, bad things. Why? Because they had a skill, and they refused, some of them, not all of them, some of them refused to share it with others. V'odianu akasuv ki al elu ye'amer zecher tzadik levracha ka'yumorim umalamdim kol arotzeh. And the Mishnah there says in Yoma, and we're saying it here about Bezalel, those who have the ability to share wisdom and do so, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And those who don't, those who have skills and to keep a competitive edge over their fellow Jew, who they should want to help, V'afalecha Kamocha. And you don't share it, we say about such a person, Shame Risham Yerkov. Your name should rot, which means your reputation should rot. Here you are trying to hold on to this milah so you'll have a better reputation than someone else. But guess what? That's not how a Jew. If you're in it for the team, you share that knowledge with others. You share that Torah knowledge with others. You share those skills with others. You try to share the gifts, lahoros nasan, the gift that Hashem's given you. You try to spread it to others. Yes.
Practically, does that apply to things that could make money off? For example,
yes.
A secret sauce at a restaurant.
Perhaps. I think yes. If you believe that Hashem is in charge of your parnasa, then you're not. Listen, there are halachos of a saga school, right? So there is, yes, there is a halachic system that recognizes that we're human beings, and helps us to live within that. But in terms of, you don't have to feel. You shouldn't feel threatened that if someone, you know, that if someone steals your business idea, then they're going to steal your parnasa. Because at the end of the day, your parnasa was decided on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and Hashem will decide if you're going to have a lot or if you're going to have a little. So you don't have to. Again, it's a high madrego bitachon. And again, there are halachos that tell us what we need to do. But as a general mahalach, you shouldn't think that if I'm, you know, more controlling, then I'm going to get better results out of my life. Okay, here's the most famous piece in the Parsha. This is the most famous Or HaChaim in this week's Parsha. So if you meet someone and they say, tell me the best Or HaChaim in this week's Parsha, I don't know if it's the best, but it's definitely the one that's most famous, that's most well known, I think. People quote this one a lot. Pasuk Zayin. Before I prepared, it was probably the only Or HaChaim I knew in this week's Parsha. Now, okay, Baruch Hashem, now we know a lot of Or HaChaims in this week's Parsha. But Pasuk Zayin is a famous one. And again, it's a question that a lot of Mefarshim are curious about. What does it say? Perek Lamed Vav Pasuk Zayin. It says that the Jews brought for the Mishkan Va'amalacha Haisa Dayam L'chol Malacha La'asos Osa V'hoser. There was enough to do all that needed to be done, and there was in excess, there was extra. So obviously Pashup Shat means yes, there was enough to do what we needed to do, and there was extra. But the Rechaim and many others say, hold on a second, but Dayam, enough means just enough, and Hoser means there was extra. So it's a stira minei ubei. Dayam means there's just enough. Hoser means there's more than enough. So was there just enough or was there extra? You hear the question? Hear it in his words. Heim beiz dvarim hafachim. These are two opposites. Im dayam, if it's just enough, ain't a hoser. V'im hoser, ain't a dayam. What does it mean? Dai means just enough. Now you can say, dai doesn't mean, you can say, pashup shah, dai means there was sufficient to, right? If they had 200, they only needed 100, so Bechlal Masayim Meah. I think 200 is 100, so there was enough, and there was extra. Okay, but He says the word die means exactly enough. Hoser means more than enough. It's a contradiction. So therefore he gives the following answer. He says, go down five or six lines. V'ulai. He says, V'ulai, Shiashmi Einu Akasuv, Chibas Bnei Yisrael Be'enei HaMakom. If you want to know how much Hashem loves you, the answer is, a lot. Why? Because Bnei Yisrael brought and brought and brought and brought, and Hashem says, what on earth am I going to do with all this stuff? It's way more than we need. But it's so beautiful that Bnei Yisrael want to give. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? Even though it's way more than I need, I'm going to find a way to incorporate every last shred of material, every last bit of donation into the Mishkan. I'm going to make it that, it fit just perfect, Dayam, exactly the amount that I needed. Even though it was way more than we needed. But Hashem didn't want anyone to feel left out. Hashem wanted us to know that every bit of effort that we make is incorporated into the building of the Mishkan. And every mitzvah that we do is building by Ashlichi right now in Shemayim, in the Mikdash Omala. Look what he writes here. Again, to show the chibas b'nei Yisrael b'nei HaMakom, ki letzad sheviu Yisrael yoser mishir atzarech, b'nei Yisrael brought much more than was needed. Chash Hashem lechvod kol ish. Hashem says, I'm going to have respect for every person. Shetorchu v'heviu v'nichnas kol amuva b'is Hashem b'malachas HaMishkan. Everyone who made an effort to bring, I'm going to insert it and incorporate it into what? Into Malachas HaMishkan. And that's what the Pasuk says. That the Malacha, Haisadayam, Voser. It was just enough, even though it was really a lot more than they needed. Okay? And last but not least, to conclude Parshas Vayakel, we still have a whole Parshas Pekudei. I'm only going to do a couple pieces of Pekudei. And those who want to take a break are welcome to do so. But just one last piece in Vayakel. Go to the end of Pasuk Ches, tiny little piece, Chacham Lev. It's a Chashuv Yisod. You've heard of the 10,000 hour rule? They say it's not true, but I think it's true. Even if it's not exactly true the way, you know, Malcolm Gladwell described in his book. Yeah, but it's true. It's true. It's true in the sense that if you want to get good at something, you have to do it. And if you do it all the more so l'shem Shemayim, then all the more so Hashem's going to help you to get good at it. Ein davar omid b'fnei ha'ratzon. Person who wants something, especially in Ruchnias, and you push, and you work, and you do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps it to become a reality. So he says here, says Pasuk Ches, Vayasu kol chacham lev b'osei ha'malacha es ha'mishkan eser yirios v'chul. It says that the chacham lev were what? B'osei ha'malacha. It almost sounds like what? That they became chachmei lev through the Asiyas HaMalacha. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, that's right. These people were not geniuses who knew how to do everything before they got started, but they became Chachmei Lev by doing. Chacham Lev Ba'osei Malacha. He says, Ulai, sheyirmuz shebe'emtsos Asiyasam HaMalacha uvisibasa nasu Chachmei Lev. By getting involved, by doing it. How do you get good at learning Gemara? You know how? You do it a lot. People who are looking for like a trick, like, but I've been doing it for a long time and it's not working yet. So do it more. You've done 10,000 hours of it. You've done 1,000 hours of it. How many pages of 2,711 pages, how many of them do you know? Right? If it's not like a significant amount, don't be surprised that you haven't mastered the skill of reading Gemara yet. Do it more. It's hard to do it. I don't know. So go online, listen to a shir, let someone read it to you, and then you practice reading it back. Say with an article, whatever it takes. That was always my attitude towards Avodas Hashem. I don't care if I have to cheat to get there, I'm going to get there. If you know, someone's using hard scrolls cheating, so cheat. If that'll help you figure out how to read Gemara, if you can finish a Masechta that way, and then you'll know how to read Gemara better, so use an hard scroll. I know some people say, no, you'll never learn how to learn like that. I don't know. I think if you do something a lot, you'll get good at it. And I think we have a proof in this Pasuk. That the Chacham Lev Be'osei Malacha. The more they did, the better they got it. The more proficient they became in doing so. I want to share with you a piece. I know usually we don't stray into other sources, but I have to share with you this piece because I think it's mamish, such an important yisod. And then again, whoever wants to do a little pekudei will do pekudei, and those who want to take a 20-minute break before I panel will take a 20-minute break. But in the Sefer Eish Tamid is by Rabbi Yisrael Meir Druck Shlita. Rabbi Druck has a piece in this week's Parsha. He's actually not commenting on this Orach Chaim. He's commenting on a famous Ramban in this week's Parsha, where the Ramban says a very similar thing. There's Ramban here, and even more Ba'arichas, there's Ramban in Kisisa. It wasn't quoted here, but there's Ramban in Kisisa that has an even longer Arichas about this point, which is what? If you want to do something, even if you don't have the skill, even if you don't have the training, even if you don't know how I'm going to get this done, but you want to do it, Hashem will help you to get it done. The Ramban says, if you look, again, on Pasuk Chaf Aleph over here, it says, Vayavo kol ish asher neso libo v'chol asher nadva rucho oso heviu es trumas Hashem l'melech aso amoed u'lecho avadasu l'big de kodesh. Says the Ramban, Vayavo kol ish asher neso libo. What does it mean, kol ish asher neso libo? He says, what art school did these artisans go to? So I know you'll say, yes, some people have a natural artistic ability. It only goes so far in constructing some of the wondrous, tapestries of the Mishkan. Where did they train? How did they know how to do this? The Ramban says an unbelievable thing. These were slaves of Mitzrayim. They didn't have the fine motor skills. They had big muscles from working in Mitzrayim, maybe. Right? Maybe it was the last time Jews had big muscles, it was when they left Mitzrayim. Yeah? Although there's some chevro by Reuben, I see in the weight room over there, working on it. Yeah? So he says, how did they know how to do this? Where did they get the skill? He says, very simple. Nisiyas Lev. Listen to what he says here. Ki lo hayu behem shalom eres malachos elam imalame. No one taught them how to do this. Omisha imein behen yado klal. No one guided their hands at all. Ah, lahoros nasan. Bitzal taught them. Okay. Aval matza betivo, they found it within their own teva, their own nature. That they knew how to do so. They said, you know what? I can do this. Listen to this lashon. Vayigba libo b'darchei Hashem. They had the holy chutzpah to say, I can do this. Have you ever done this? You know how many Jews? We've had some amazing stories about Jews in the Holocaust who totally lied their way into doing things they had no idea how to do and they saved their lives. Is anyone here a doctor? Yes, I'm a doctor. And the person saved his life that way. How did he... Sometimes the person was a doctor and that's why they were saved. Sometimes the person had no clue and they said, you know what? This is the only chance I have to save my life. So I have to become a doctor right now. And I have to pretend. I have to pretend like I'm a doctor in such a way that the Nazis will believe that I'm a doctor. Right? That I have this skill that they're looking for. Lahavdil, that was a tragic moment of rising up. But tapping into a deep part of ourselves, Vayigba Libo B'Darchei Hashem, Levo Lifnei Moshe, they came before Moshe, and they said to Moshe, Ani Aseh Kol Asher Adoni Dover. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Moshe says, oh, show me your credentials. Where did you train? I did it, but I know I can do it. Yeah, exactly. I know I can do it. So says Rav Druk, a couple amazing, amazing ha'aras on this Ramban. It's the same yisod here as the Aruch Chaim Kadosh. He says, first of all, this idea, Ein lecha davar baruch niyas ha'omid b'fnei ha'ratzon. And then he gives a couple amazing, amazing examples. Because sometimes the person who wants it bad, the person who has the desire to do, can achieve more than the person who did have the training. The Gemara in Erechin says in Daf Yud, that there were symbols in the Beis HaMikdash that got damaged. They had these beautiful symbols that they used to use, and they got damaged at one point, and they needed an expert instrument maker to come and fix it. So they sent to Alexandria to bring people, artisans, who had expertise in fixing these kelim of the Mishkan, to fix the musical instruments of the Mishkan. And they tried to fix it, and they couldn't fix it. So Rav Druk says, isn't that interesting? That some Jew who didn't have any training, who first crafted it and molded it and made it out of his heart, was able to make this perfect instrument. And this they sent for the world's experts to try to fix it, and they couldn't make it as well as the Jew without any training who put his heart into it. He says, I'll give you another example. Avram Avinu is 99 years old, and Hashem says, Avram, give yourself a bris milah. Yeah, I'm going to give myself a bris milah. No training? Not so pasha, chevra. Give yourself a bris milah. It's not so give anyone a bris milah, let alone give yourself a bris milah. In fact, the halacha says, if you have a moel who's mamish, it's yadua, he's a yare shemayim. It's yadua, he's a big person. Everyone knows he's a spiritual giant. And you have another moel who's not as spiritual, doesn't have the same reputation as being a yare shemayim, but he's a skilled surgeon. He's a better moel. He has a steadier hand. Who's the right in halacha? Who's the right moel to choose? The halacha says choose the one. We're talking about a delicate medical procedure here. Choose the moel who knows how to give the bris better. than the one who's a big tzaddik. Why? Because we don't mess around. The Chassam Sofer has a tshuva. If not for this chus of bris milah, every baby would die. It's a crazy thing that we do. If not for the merit of the mitzvah, it's an extremely dangerous procedure. So yes, we don't compromise on pikuach nefesh. We get the greatest expert to perform it. And yet Aaron's told, give yourself a bris milah. Oh, sure. 2 seconds later, he's giving himself a bris milah. Do you know what you're doing? And Aaron says, yes, I know what I'm doing. How do you know? Where did you train? And yet, Avram so badly wanted to do this mitzvah, he knew he could do it perfect. And he did. Another example. The Jews are told, Shech the Karban Pesach. Anyone here ever see a shechita of an animal? Not just a chicken.
YouTube.
Yeah? Not pashut. Hashem says to a bunch of slaves in Mitzrayim, take Karban Pesach and shecht it. Okay, no problem. We'll shecht the pe. Who trained them? Where did they get their Kabbalah and shechita from? Who taught them how to shecht? Says Rav Druk, but they wanted to shecht. And if you want to shecht, Hashem will give you the ability to shecht. And last but not least, he says, the Gemara in Brachos Nun Hayim and Aleph, where Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nosein Chachma, Ela L'misha Yesh Bo Chachma. Hashem gives wisdom to the one who has wisdom. So all the Mepharshim asks, well, how do you get started? Hashem gives wisdom to the one who has wisdom, so how do you get the initial wisdom? How do you get that initial wisdom? Maybe Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. That's what some of the Sfarim answer. But Rav Druk says, you know how you get the initial wisdom? The wisdom that Hashem will then give you further wisdom is the Jew who says, I need to have this wisdom. That's the starting point. It's this Yisod from the Ramban, it's this Yisod from the Rachaim HaKadosh. The one who jumps in and says, I'm going to do it. And as they did it, says the Rachaim HaKadosh, Chacham Lev, they became Chacham Lev through the Asiyas HaMalacha. They got better at it as they did it. So, Chaver, we saw a lot of beautiful pieces today. Kedusha of Shabbos, the power of a Yid to give and to donate, the importance of doing what you can to the best of your ability. A lot of very chashuv yesodos here in the Rachaim HaKadosh. So Mirtza Hashem, we should feel that chibas b'nei Yisrael, the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for each and every one of us. Right? That even those things in our life that sometimes seem to be extra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's nothing extra. Everything's going to fit in just right. We're going to find a place for it, even if you don't see how it fits in right now. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help all of our donations and all of our efforts to keep the world going through Asiyas HaMitzvos and Shmiras HaShabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our offerings and build a beautiful Bayis Shlishi B'Perabim Minu Amin.